7, verses 10 through 31.
Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he doth, so he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth out not by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not to the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This proverb was written by Lemuel's mother to him. And she was writing him concerning what kind of a wife a woman should be and what kind of a woman a man should choose. Verses 10 through 31, you should also note, is a poem, and it is written in the acrostic form. And just as a side note, I want to explain what that is. In the Hebrew poetry, there was a device called the acrostic. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and here you will find 22 verses. Each letter of the Hebrew alphabet begins with each of each 22 verses. And that way everybody could read it and memorize it easily, whether they were in temple or even at home. So this is a poem in the acrostic device. The New Testament parallels for this passage are 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, and also 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. In verse 10, we have the definition of a virtuous woman. And I want to read it again, go through this as we kind of descend through this. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above woman. A virtuous woman is a spirit-filled woman. There cannot be any other type of a spirit of a virtuous woman. She is a godly, she is industrious, and she is resolute in her daily duties, her daily walk, and she is also a helpmeet to her husband. She also has great value. It is rare to find a virtuous woman because so few teach their daughters and so few desire to have this type of beauty. Very few desire this type of a lifestyle. Most desire outward recognition. Most desire to find out what life can give them. But a virtuous woman is definitely a servant. A virtuous woman desires inward beauty, inward purity, and inward godliness. She wants godly worth. She is so rare, the Bible tells us that her price is far above rubies. Literally, it tells us no treasure is comparable to a virtuous woman. Her price is so wonderful and so expensive that nothing compares to a woman like this. In verses 11 and 12, we have her character. Because of her faithfulness to her husband, her singleness of heart toward him, and her affection for him, verse 11 tells us the heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that she shall have no need of spoil. Her conduct is such that she is never anxious, or that he is never anxious about his home, because he has complete trust in her. He has complete trust in her love to him, in her faithfulness to him. He never wonders what she is doing or whether or not she's doing the right thing. He never is concerned whether or not she is deceiving him. He has complete trust in everything that his virtuous wife is doing. When he comes home, he is met with a loving, kind woman that cannot wait to see him. Truly, for this man, home is where the heart is. This is the life of a husband who is married to a virtuous woman. He is so happy that he doesn't have the desire to go out into the world and find fulfillment in the world. He doesn't need to go out and find great wealth and all the pleasures of the world has to offer, because everything he needs, everything that he desires, is found within the walls of his home. He doesn't need it because his life is so wonderful that he is filled in every area of his life. It's an amazing thing to be married to a virtuous woman. He needs nothing. His life is so good, he has no desire to leave home and to satisfy his soul in a different place other than the place of his home. I've heard this over the years many times. Kids will ask their dad, "Dad, we don't know what to buy you for a present. You seem to have everything." Well, in that context, we see that in the context of a man who was married to a virtuous woman. He has no need of anything. There's nothing that anybody can think of to buy the man, because everything in his life is complete. He might not have much in the context of physical things, but his life is so complete, no one can even think of anything to buy for him. It goes on to say, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. The comfort of her husband is her highest priority, and her success in this is her source of her own happiness. This is what gives the virtuous woman great joy. She sticks with him through thick and through thin. She lives as a servant, and he in return treats her as an equal. In fact, he elevates her high above himself and treats her as a queen. He places her in this position because she's so deserving of it. Now, this is the excellent life of a married couple who truly live in the context of Proverbs 31. I want to deal with her work ethic, which is the main part of Proverbs 31. And we're not going to go through every instance of it because we can. It's verses 13 through 27 deal with the work ethic of a virtuous woman. It is a practical illustration of a woman with a wonderful character. That's what this is. She is described by Lemuel's mother as a wealthy woman whose husband is a man of means. But that doesn't mean that is the case for everyone. This is simply the case for these people. That he was definitely a man of substance, and she was a woman of means, no doubt. But it also especially illustrates her character, and it does this through ancient manners and customs. So we have to take these ancient manners and customs and apply them to our situation. Although the manners and the customs are outdated, the general principles are not. They apply to every generation and every society. Her character travels over every land. Her character crosses over every sea, and her character traverses every generation. It describes a godly, a useful, a wise wife, a wise mother, a wise friend, and it describes most certainly a Christian woman. She is a woman who professes herself to be a Christian and who adorns herself with good works. That is what it means to be a virtuous woman, a Christian who adorns herself with good works. Let's look at verse 13 for a moment. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. We are told that it is not even a shame for a queen to do work like this. It is a fact that Caesar Augustus only wore the clothing that his wife and his daughters made for him. And obviously, He could have worn anything that he wanted. To be a spinster in those days, a woman that put her hands to the spindle, was a badge of honor. She is always about a woman's business. She is not competing in the man's world. And I know that might be a touchy subject in the land in which we live, where many people have to have two incomes, and I'm not trying to slight anybody like that. But this deals with a woman who was taking care of her household. This is the context of a virtuous woman. She is always about the business of women. She is not competing in the man's world, like I've said. She is a keeper of the home and doing business that is conducive to a woman's work, who is constantly looking to the ways of her household. It tells us in verse 14, she is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She manages the affairs of her house well, and she is aware that it is her responsibility. Verse 15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. It means that she wakes up way before dawn. She gets up while everybody is still sleeping. She's in there quite early doing the labor and the work that needs to be done by only the way that she can do it. When she is awake and all others are asleep, she is most productive because there is not a lot of demands upon her. And even then, she's preparing meals for her family and getting everybody ready, so when they get up and getting ready for school and going off to work, they can go off because mom has been there waiting for them to have a good day. She is a woman who does not love her bed more than her duties. She is a woman who is constantly applying herself to the welfare of her family. It's a wonderful thing to have a mother that is constantly applying herself to the welfare of her family. And I know there's many women in our church, if not all, that fit this bill. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She's always working with a plan for the betterment of her family. That's what it means. Obviously, very few of us are looking for fields to buy in this day and age, but she takes care to consider what is best for her family. This is her duty. She does not plow into things haphazardly. She considers them very carefully. Is this best for my family? Can we afford this? Should we spend the money on this? Will this be good for my family, or will it not be good for my family? She considers these things well. And look at verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She attacks her duties, her agenda, with zeal and courage. She is a woman who doesn't neglect any part of her household. She attacks all areas of it with zeal and courage. Her candle goeth not out by night. That means she's a hard worker. From morning to the late evening, she's laboring for the welfare of her family. It was said that if you bought a fine piece of linen, they would say, it smells of the lamp. It smells of the lamp. It means that they were working night and day to put out a very, very fine product. And that's the picture of a virtuous woman, a person who is working night and day to put out a fine product. What she accomplishes is profitable, and that encourages her to continue on in her daily duties. She sees success in what she's doing, and so every day she gets up and does it better and better and better, and she grows in grace as the years move on. Verse 19, she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold to the distaff. She is constantly working, laboring under things that most people in her position do not have to do. It is said of Henry VIII's two wives, Catherine of Spain, that she was constantly working with her daughters on her spindle, and that Anne Boleyn did the same thing. They said there was never a time of ease or rest in Anne Boleyn's court because she was constantly laboring with her maidens in her duties as a wife. no idleness in the court of Henry VIII, even for a queen that could have laid around if she liked. Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She labors to that purpose. One of the reasons, or if not the main reason why she labors so hard, is because she understands through life experience that giving of yourself, not getting gain, is the key to success and the key to happiness. She freely gives. She freely and cheerfully and liberally gives of her labor to needy people, to people that need it more than she. It excites her and gives her great joy to help others in times of need. And she does it with a stretched out hand. She moving forward, anxious to do this type of business. She works to that end every day when she gets up. Verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. It means she doesn't make excuses for her laziness. She's constantly at work doing the things that need to be done, no matter how hard the times may be. She is selfless and only concerns herself with the needs of others, the needs of her husband, and the needs of her children. She cares about everyone else and places herself at the last part of the list. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She dresses according to her position in life, but she does it with modesty. Her husband and children are go out into the world with clean clothes, pressed clothes. They look good, they're fed, they're well taken care of, and it's noticeable in their countenance. She takes care of her family, and they go out into the world very proud of the way she takes care of them. They are not disheveled, they are not disorganized people, because they have a virtuous wife and mother. She never dresses to impress, but she is also she was always dignified in her behavior, in her manner of clothing. In verse 23, or verse 24, her husband, verse 22 we read, in verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He is a respected man because of his wife's character. He sits at the gates of the elders of the land because of the way his wife behaves. He has a good reputation in the world because the men of the world know that he has an excellent wife. He is an outwardly happy man because of his wife's virtue, and it's noticeable to all. Everybody praises him. Everybody envies him because of the type of wife that he has. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Again, emphasizing her constant work ethic. And then verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Her spiritual inward clothing is strength and honor. She is a happy and content woman because she is a virtuous woman. This is the type of woman that truly has happiness in this world, and no other woman can attain it. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Her husband has complete confidence in her when they are in a public situation. She is always discreet, and she is always prudent in her behavior. She is known as a meek woman. She is known as a quiet woman. But when she does speak, she speaks with words of wisdom. One man said this of a woman of this character: her words are few, true, and ponderous. The stream and current of her conference tends either to wisdom or kindness, that is, to duties either of piety or charity. The love that guides her is her rule and rules her speech. The law of love and kindness is written on her heart, and she receives that law with wisdom, or from wisdom. It manifests itself in her speech. Everything about her, the law of the Lord is in her heart, and it manifests itself in her speech and in her character. Her wisdom, her love, her kindness are all revealed in the commanding power and the presence that she shows when she's in a public place. It's noticeable to all what type of a woman she is. But this law of kindness only comes from the law of God. And she makes it her top priority in her life to speak to her children about the eternal treasures that it possesses. She teaches her children that true happiness is only found in loving the Lord Jesus Christ and having this law written on your heart. And she makes it her constant goal, her constant labor to teach her children these wonderful truths from the Word of God. Verse 27, she looketh well to her ways, to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She is overseeing the ways of her family. She does not meddle in the affairs of other families. She's too busy to be concerned with the affairs of her own family. She spies and pries into the lives of her children. She spies and pries into the lives of her children. And a child will say, no, you have no right to do that. I have my privacy. A mother will say, no, you do not. It is my duty to watch over you, to watch over your souls. And she will do anything to make sure that you live the best life you possibly can. She is not interested in being her children's friend. She is only interested in being the best mother that she can possibly be. She does not solicit the approval of her children, but she desires to be the best mother that she can be. She is wise enough to know that approval by her children or from her children will probably come later in life, if it comes at all. She is a human watchtower, overseeing, agonizing, praying, and guiding her children in the right paths of life. This is the life of a virtuous woman, and it goes on and on, day in and day out, without end, and it never gets burdensome, it never gets tiring. It is full of joy and happiness. It tells us that she eats not the bread of idleness. She hates to sit and do nothing. There's too much to do. She uses her time wisely so as not to waste it, because she knows how precious time really is. This is the life of a Christian virtuous woman. It's a wonderful thing. And then in verse 28 to the end of the chapter, we have the virtuous woman's praise. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. As her children grow and mature, they shall call her blessed. It is very, very rare that you will find a woman with children where her children call her blessed. She is ignored usually, but we won't get into that. If they have the wisdom to bless their mother, they also have the wisdom to bless God for giving them a mother like her. She is a reflection of true virtue. It is a blessing for any child to know that about their mother. Who else can praise and bless a mother? Who else can praise and bless a wife? Most of her work is done behind closed doors. Most of her work is done early in the morning before the sun comes up. And most of her work is consumed with doing and concerning the needs of her family when no one else notices that she's doing any of these things. When the family is working and moving around and doing all kinds of things, she is constantly making sure that they are being taken care of so they can do all these things. The house is clean. The beds are made. The clothes are washed. They're ironed. The kids are fed. Everything moves smoothly. And people really don't even consider how all that gets done, but it's constantly being done by that one person, that virtuous woman in the household. Day after day after day, this thankless job that gives her so much pleasure. The greatest praise a woman can receive is the lives of her virtuous children and the love of her husband. That's the great praise for a virtuous woman. The lives of her virtuous children and the praise of her husband. Consider a woman, an old woman with grandchildren, and she has all of her grandchildren around her as she's watching them grow up. She watching now her children live virtuous lives, raising their children the way she raised her children. There can be no better compliment to your mother than to have her watch you raise your children the way she raised hers. If your children, if you can ever walk in your mother's footsteps, there will be no greater praise or blessing to your mother. Her husband shall praise her also. He is so in love with her because of who she is. He is so impressed with her that he takes every occasion to speak well of her as one of the rare women of the world. The Bible tells us she is a very rare woman. And a man that has a woman like that will take every occasion to praise her. She is a woman who is more valuable than the price of rubies. It's an amazing thing to have a woman like that. Look at verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. But she excels them all in female glory. She is the epitome of a true woman. That's what a virtuous woman is. She is the epitome of what a woman should be. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. This is the end result of a virtuous woman. Her character is a crowning result of her undying fear of the Lord. She is a godly woman. That's what a virtuous woman is. She is a godly woman, and everything flows out of that reality. All that she says and does is motivated and governed by the love of God and the principles that he sets forth in his holy word. And this is what gives her happiness. This is what gives her joy. This is what gives her purpose in life. And everything about her excels because of this. And her children, bless her, and her husband will praise her because of it. She knows that this is far better than attaining any type of beauty that the world might have to offer outwardly. The virtuous woman knows that the fear of the Lord that reigns in her heart is the true beauty of the soul. She knows that this is what God desires for all women. And then lastly, in verse 31, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She never desires to be honored except within the walls of her own household. She never promotes herself and says, look at me, look how great I am. Never comes out of her mouth. But her actions cannot stop the praise of men outside of the gates of the city. She does not seek the praise of men, but she knows her testimony will always speak for itself. And she's confident that when she sends her husband and children out into the world, she has done her job well. So we'll make a few observations in the few minutes that we have left. Number one, true beauty is only found in holiness. Blessed are the women who prize eternal beauty above temporal beauty. She shall be praised, the Bible tells us. She shall live and die with great honor. A wise man finds a woman who fears the Lord. There is no greater beauty than this in all of the world than to find a wise woman, a woman who fears the Lord. In this, a man will be very happy. And apart from this, he will be very miserable. You have to ask yourself, especially you young men, how long will outward beauty last? Nothing wrong with finding a beautiful woman to marry. No doubt about that. But you must ask yourself, how long will this beauty last? Children usually say, well, we're going to be different. Our generation's not going to get old. We're always going to look good. Well, maybe you will, but probably not. When your wife loses her youth, or when she's struck down in sickness in a moment of time, when her beauty is swept away in a moment of time, will you love your wife then? If you marry your wife for outward beauty, what will you do to her and your family when she loses that outward beauty? It's a very, very unwise person that would marry for that reason. Will you still love your wife when she's not the beautiful girl that you married years and years ago? One man said this concerning this type of observation. If I choose her for her beauty, I shall love her no longer than while that continues. And then farewell at once both duty and delight. But if I love her for her virtues, then though all other sandy foundations fail, yet will my happiness remain entire. The virtuous woman is more beautiful every day that she lives. And only a man of experience will know that and understand that. And only a godly man will understand that. But a virtuous woman becomes more and more beautiful every day that she lives. Even in sorrow and even in pain, a virtuous woman excels them all. She is more precious and more valuable than rubies themselves. And observation number two, true religion is a joyous life. There is no happiness apart from the Lord Jesus Christ in true religion. Only a virtuous woman is happy. Only a virtuous woman is content. And only a virtuous woman is fulfilled. The character of a virtuous woman is the outward manifestation of inward light. That inward light that only God can give a regenerate person, a person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Bridges said, "It is the light within that shines without." The world considers the life of a virtuous woman drudgery. It considers the life of a virtuous woman foolish. It considers the life of a virtuous woman to be endured and to be dreaded. The world looks at a Christian woman and the way she lives and the way she labors as a waste of a life. But they are so wrong. The philosophy of the world, apart in contrast to the Word of God, the world will always let you down. The world does not know what they're talking about. The pinnacle of happiness in the world is beauty, strength, honor, power, money, all of these things that fade away, all of these things that only last for a moment. Never, never trust what the world has to offer. They believe all these things are the pinnacle of the human existence, and the Bible tells us they're not at all. The Bible, history, and personal experience teaches us that in most cases, outward beauty is usually a curse to the person that possesses it. Solomon characterized a beautiful woman without discretion in a very frank manner. He said, "As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion." That's how the Bible contrasts a virtuous woman to a woman without discretion. I don't want to pick on anybody, and I'm not going to, so we'll just keep it general. You can pick anybody you want in the world. But look at the Hollywood personalities. It's tragic. Tragic in just about every case that I can consider. The most beautiful women in the world that have money, fame, they're making movies, they're on television shows. They marry the most handsome man, and their lives are in ruin. They're on their third or fourth marriage, their fifth or sixth or seventh marriage in some cases. They're beautiful. Their wives find another beautiful woman and leave them. Their children are deserted. On and on and on it goes. These women are constantly trying to please the man that they married, and all they have to offer is their beauty. And they're let down in every single case. You know, in the town that in which we live in here, the Silicon Valley, it's filled with very powerful, very rich, very successful men. And many of them marry very beautiful women. And these poor women, every day they wake up, they wonder how long their looks are going to last and how long before their husbands leave them for another woman. It constantly happens. But the life of a virtuous woman is never like that. She never lives in fear of tomorrow because she knows that her husband loves her. Her husband could never be happier anywhere else. And lastly, in closing, this poem describes a beautiful woman. She is faithful to her husband. She manages her household well. She watches over her children. She is selfless. She cares for the poor and needy. She is kind and polite. She is tender and wise and loving to all people. All of these attributes derive from her virtue, which is a product of her godliness. True beauty, true virtue was only found in godliness and Christian character, and only a godly woman could have it. Praise the people that you know that have this. You young men and young ladies, look to the people around you that live like this, because you will only find happiness in this type of a lifestyle. All of these attributes only derive from true virtue. True beauty is found in godliness and Christian character. You young ladies, especially the young ladies of this room, your mothers are the true heroes. They're the true icons of our generation. They are not anywhere else found but in the walls of your own home. Inside the walls of your home, you will find the great heroes of our society. They will not get any accolades, they will get no rewards, and no one will care about them. But you watch them every day. You see how they live, and you see the joy that they have in their life. Make sure that true godly virtue, not your outward beauty, not the attainment of this life's beauty, are the primary goal of your life, just the way your mother has lived her life. True happiness is only found in the life of a virtuous woman. And everybody around her that is connected to her is a happy person. The wife, or the husband, and her children, of course. What greater gift can a mother have than to know that her children walk in her footsteps? This is the truth of Proverbs 31, a great poem from Lemuel's mother to him, and how to seek a good wife. And it is a great privilege to be a member of a Christian church where there are so many women that live this type of life. It is a great honor and privilege to know so many. Very few have ever met one, and I know more than I can count. Well, our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the Lord's Day. We thank you that we can open up your word and see the great treasures that you have given us. We pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified in our day. We pray that we would worship you in truth and spirit. We pray that you would be honored in all that we do and say today. And we pray that we would go away an edified people, desiring to serve you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.